Title of my sermonette today is Obey My Voice. In Deuteronomy 4, Moses was telling the Israelites that they had seen God on Mount Horeb, and they saw no image, they just heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. If you turn to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 27, we'll read through 30. And the Lord will scatter you among the people, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you shall serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. We need to invest our heart in finding God's way of life. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. So we are told by Moses that we need to follow the things that God told the Israelites on Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai. With all the disasters, the hurricanes, flooding, fires, is God anger aroused so that he's punishing the children of Israel and bringing them to repentance? Are we in the last days that Jesus prophesied of in Matthew 24? And how he said that the whole world had corrupted itself except for one man, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. The specific purpose of my statement is that all of us realize the importance of obeying God's voice and rejecting this world's false Christianity. In Matthew 6:33, it says that, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's go over to 2 Peter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. Peter was warning the people. Second Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there were false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. There'll be those that teach a way that isn't God's way, and they'll try to convince you and I of that. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. God's way, God's word, is always true. He doesn't make mistakes like men. In verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Under the next section, in verse 4, talks about the doom of false teachers. It talks about the angels that sinned, who didn't do what God commanded them. And then again, it talks about Noah and calls him a preacher of righteousness. In verse 6, it talks about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and how they were turned to ashes because of their wickedness, and how Lot struggled with them all the time. Going down to verse 12, it says, but these, like natural brute beasts, have been made to be caught and destroyed. It's talking about the false teachers who speak evil things they do not understand. They speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and they will receive the wages of unrighteousness. So Peter sets the battlefield between the righteous and the unrighteous, those who do things the way God wants them to do and obey God and obey his voice, and those who want to follow their own way, not God's way. In verse 14, it says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Peter's talking about sin, even though so many of these say that you can't, you know, God's law has been thrown out. Enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Dropping down to verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, when they talk, the things that they're teaching are not truth. They're not going to lead you to eternal life like God's word will. They allure you through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. And while they promise them liberty, and isn't that what they always say? You're free from sin. You don't have to worry about it. It's God's laws that set you free, that make you free from sin. And you're not slaves of corruption, but you're slaves of righteousness. For by, in verse 19, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled to them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And we don't want to go back into the way that we came out of. We want to follow God's way. And finally, in verse 21, for it says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and God's way is the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Peter gives us the answer in this verse. The way of righteousness is to keep God's holy commandment. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 119:172, it says, for all your commandments are righteousness. God gave laws that were perfect, but men do not want to keep them. But what do they say when we try to keep God's, obey God's voice? Well, for keeping the Sabbath, they want to call us Judaizers. They try to tell us that we're trying to be self-righteous and that we think we can earn our own salvation without Christ. Again, all false accusations. But let's look at the scriptures and see what it says about whether you have to keep God's law or not. Turn over to Proverbs 28 and verse 4. When I first read this scripture, I just was amazed that God had this right out in the open. It says, those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Now, would we ever want to be forsaking the law and praising the wicked? Is that what we should do, like they tell us, that you don't have to keep the Sabbath, just come on Sunday? No, that would be praising the wicked. And what does that forsake mean? That word can be translated to leave or to loose, let alone to depart from, leave behind, abandon. People of this world love to abandon God's laws, neglect, apostatize, let loose, set free, let go. They don't want to hold on to God's way of life. But we, let's finish the second half of that verse, but such as keep the law, contend with them. It's a good thing to keep God's laws. The word keep means to guard, keep watch over, protect, observe, retain, preserve, pay heed to. God's laws give true liberty and freedom. Let's turn over to Exodus 19 and verse 1. Exodus 19 and verse 1. We're going to read through verse 6. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephaim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God had given them a miraculous delivery. Now, therefore, if indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. God wanted them to do two things, to obey his voice and to keep his covenant. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. God says if you do those two things, you will be a special treasure to him. Does that sound like you're trying to earn something? It's just obeying God, doing what he says. We know that Christ paid the penalty for us, and it's a free gift, eternal life. And verse 6, And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And don't we hear that when we go to the Feast of Tabernacles most year, that we are going to be kings and priests? So here, let's go back to Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 through 10. This is Moses speaking to Israel. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 10. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you, the promised land. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. We cannot add anything to God's laws, and we should not take anything from them. But this world is very happy to do all of that. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed after Baal Peor. But you held fast, and you to the Lord your God, and are alive today, every one of you. So those who remained faithful, remained obedient, were saved from the death that the others who went after Baal Peor. Surely I have taught you, verse 5, your statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, and that you should act according to them in the land where you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. By keeping God's laws, it makes us wise. It makes us people of understanding. It doesn't make us try to be saving ourselves. For what great nation is there that has God so near as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason, we may call upon him. And isn't that a comfort to all of us that we can get on our knees and talk to God anytime we want? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. They saw what God did to Egypt. They saw how they went through the Red Sea. And now they were seeing on that mountain God's great power. He was giving those Ten Commandments. Lest you forget in your eyes what your eyes have seen, unless you depart from your heart all the and they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, When the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words. They heard it in their very ears, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. So, what can we do? What should be our attitude towards God's law? Well, Ezra, the priest, gave us a very good example. Let's turn over to Ezra 7. We're going to read verses 6 through 11. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. His job was to copy God's laws on paper and spread them around the people, which the Lord your God has given, the God of Israel has given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the Nethinim, came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of God upon him. So it took him about 4 months to go from Babylon to Jerusalem. And here, let's pay attention here for in verse 10. For Ezra prepared his heart. He had spent his life studying God's word in humility. It says, he prepared his heart to, one, seek the law of the Lord, two, and to do it, and three, to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Is that the attitude that we have? Have we prepared our hearts to seek God's law and to do it and to teach others his statutes and ordinances? So this is a copy in verse 11 that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, who was expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes to Israel. Now, you know, if you wanted to be a good electrician, you go and you're an electrician for years and you've figured things out. Or if you want to be a good plumber or any trade, you want to be good as a scribe, you have to spend a lot of time studying God's word, trying to understand his commandments, and following his statutes, and living it and doing it. So in conclusion, we don't want to follow the false Christianity of this world and their lawlessness. And we will contend with them. We will remember how God said to Israel on Mount Sinai, and how God told them that they should obey my voice. And like Ezra, we need to humble ourselves and be trained in God's laws, to seek God's laws, to do God's laws, and to teach God's laws.